Hi, everybody. Happy February. Happy rain. Happy lovely evening. Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we have Chris G and his husband, TJ, who's going to be calling in. So excited to have you both on the show. And Chris, let me tell everyone how I met you. I was doing auditions for my new play, and I met two wonderful people, Melissa and Isaiah.
Yes.
And I was telling them that I was looking for this one particular character, actor, kind of flamboyant, funny kind of person, you know, who can portray this on stage for my new play, everyone. It's called When the Bud Blooms, and it's about this singer and with this group of wonderful friends on stage together. And so I was telling them about this character, and they kept on thinking. They said, you know what? And they both at the same time, we know who could play this role. And they say, Chris can do it. And so they called you up, and they called Chris, and I made the appointment to audition Chris. We went to Pete's in Cotati and sat there and had you read a few lines, and you were just the one for the role. And matter of fact, we just had our first rehearsal tonight, and so we're just really excited and happy. And I just want to welcome you, Chris. Thank you so much for coming on our show and for being in my play. And
well, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me on the air. This is awesome. Thank you.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to meeting TJ on the phone as well. He couldn't be here tonight. Where is he, in San Francisco?
He is in Long Beach, California.
Long Beach.
Right.
Okay.
Now.
Well, he's going to call in during our news break. And so after news, we will have TJ on the phone and Chris in studio, and we are looking very forward to hearing about your life together and what you all do and what makes you tick. But first, like I said, here's news and events with Outbeat member Greg Maralia.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to...
This is Greg Maralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of February 3rd, 2019. Violence towards LGBTQ people feels like it's escalating in the U.S. now this week with two major stories. First, Jesse Smollett, an actor best known for his portrayal of gay musician Jamal Lyon on the hit TV show Empire, was hospitalized after a racist homophobic assault in Chicago last week. The actor reportedly went to a Subway restaurant where he was staying around 2 a.m. when two men, both white and wearing ski masks, yelled at him using homophobic slurs. Both assailants then attacked him. In the course of the fight, Smollett suffered a broken rib and many other contusions. They also poured a chemical substance believed to be bleach on the actor. And prior to the assailants leaving the scene, they wrapped a noose around his neck. And then in Philadelphia, five people attacked a man who was standing outside a gay bar this last weekend. Police say late Sunday night, four men and a woman got out of a car and attacked a 50-year-old customer at the Roasted Walnut, a bar in Philadelphia's gay neighborhood. Josh Schoenwolf, a bartender who witnessed the attack, said that all of a sudden a car full of guys decided to jump out and attack one of the patrons right in front of the bar. They were definitely calling him gay slurs, and they were beating him up. The general manager happened to be outside and was also punched in the face. The attackers fled the scene by the time police showed up. The victim was taken to the hospital and treated for a head injury. Philadelphia police said that they cannot determine whether it was a hate crime and that the decision to add a hate crime charge would be up to the district attorney after the police investigation is complete. ABC 6 News reports that people on social media said a similar attack occurred the night before in the same area. And here in California, according to the Bay Area Reporter, even before Pacific Gas and Electric filed for bankruptcy protection, the utility announced that its charitable giving program would be put on hold, leaving some LGBT nonprofits scrambling to cover the loss. PG&E made the filing under Chapter 11 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code because of the billions of dollars in damages the utility is facing due to the Northern California wildfires. Reaction from state officials was swift. Lesbian State Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins of San Diego said in a statement, quote, "The bankruptcy filing by PG&E is disappointing. Bankruptcy is not the optimum solution for Californians, the company itself, and the workers who rely on their salaries to provide for their families." And she added, quote, "I'm committed to working with my colleagues in the Senate and all stakeholders to ensure the continued and uninterrupted provision of safe, reliable electricity for our residents and our businesses." PG&E spokesman Matt Nauman wrote in an email response to the Bay Area Reporter that given the current financial circumstances, the utility's community giving program must be reevaluated and is on hold. In the event of a Chapter 11 filing, PG&E's charitable program will become subject to review in conjunction with that proceeding. For a calendar of LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And welcome back. This is Living Proof with Diana Sheridan, and I'm Sheridan, and we are in studio laughing it up with Chris, who's hecka nervous right now.
Chris,
take a nice big breath.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm ready.
Where's the sage? We need the sage.
And TJ, exactly. Are you there? TJ?
I am here, yes.
We're back. Thank you so much for being on, TJ. The piece that I want to mention is that you two have been together for 7 years, you've been married 4 years. And I heard that was a dynamite wedding that you had.
Yes.
And another important piece is that you're an interracial couple. Chris is black, I think.
No. Yes. I'm a light-skinned black. So.
Black History Month. Good. So.
Yes, absolutely.
And TJ is Caucasian, white man. So welcome again. And I'm so happy that you're
Thank
here.
You.
So let's just jump in. I want to know, let the audience know who you are. And to start with how you met. How did you two meet?
Well, funny story. So it all started on August 5th. And I will always remember that birth or that that date because that's my cousin's birthday. Uh-huh. And we were celebrating his birthday at a bar in Vallejo. And when I tell you we had every drink under the moon, because he was turning 30. So that was a big birthday for my cousin. And then sitting around the corner on the bar was TJ. And he's, bless his heart, he's watching us with all these shenanigans, all these drinks, just having a blast. We're celebrating, talking to the rest of the patrons. I noticed TJ looking at us, and I'm like, hey, who are you? Just in my...
friendly way.
Yes, exactly. And we started talking, and pretty much the rest is history.
Oh.
The rest is history. Oh. I want to know what that means.
Yes, exactly. I guess, TJ, you can jump in and tell us what the next...
Okay, TJ. So how did you meet TJ?
He was pretty accurate with it. I knew his cousin through a mutual friend. So when I walked in, that's why I walked down to that end of the bar, was to say hi to him. And then I just sat there and watched, and I was amazed by the gregarious, uplifted spirit about both of them, but specifically about Chris, because he was just so fun. And I was in a volatile, tough relationship at the time with somebody else, and when I met Chris, to see somebody who was happy and joyful and enjoying life was really refreshing to me.
So you just stared at him until he came over?
Pretty much.
Were you trying to lure him with by osmosis or?
It was his sexy look.
Oh,
I was like, oh, he's handsome.
Oh, TJ, yeah. You can't see your sweetie's face, but he's just all smiles on it.
Aww.
It was a fun night. Interesting. Like it was it's a cool bar. I know the owner, and we've had dance shows there because I also dance.
Mm.
The dance group that I was in, we would perform there a couple of times, and yeah, so it was a familiar place for me and for him also.
And he got to see you dance?
I wasn't dancing that night,
oh.
No. But
oh.
I'm just like remembering the townhouse in itself.
Yeah, we had talked about your dancing.
I've seen you dance plenty since then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to know more about it. If I was listening to this show, I'd say, what kind of dance are you talking about? And where can we see you? Are you online anywhere?
Probably not. I've only danced like during our shows, past shows that I was on or in, which is The Music Man and In the Heights at the JC, Santa Rosa Junior College. And then just other fun stuff, other fun venues like in San Francisco. I performed with a popular drag queen named Honey Mahogany. She is an amazing person. I got to dance with her and my friend Dion at the DNA Lounge in San Francisco on New Year's Eve. So that was awesome. But yeah.
That's, were you dressed or are you just...
Yeah, we did a whole performance. We did a performance to Beyonce's Who Run the World, Girls, that song. It was epic. It was awesome. It was New Year's Eve, and it couldn't have been better.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I know there's more story there, but we're going to go back to dance. But let's go back to TJ was around the corner.
Yes.
Checking y'all out. Okay.
Yeah, and then, like, you know.
We want more than, we won't want you. We want the details of history, okay?
Makes me sound like a creeper. I wasn't around the corner.
No, not that. He was not a creeper. Like I said, we were enjoying ourselves, and I boldly walked over to him because I saw him looking at me, and I was looking at him. It was that whole eye contact thing, and I just started talking to him like, "Hey, what's your name?" And you know, all those things that you say to somebody that you want to get to know them. But yeah, Teej, I don't know. Is that, that's pretty accurate, yeah?
yeah, it really is. It took me a while to look back and realize that I fell in love with him the moment I met him.
Oh.
It was.
Oh, babe.
Day I'll never forget.
Yeah. Same.
So you were really attracted to his positivity, it sounds like, his glow.
Yep. And that's still here today. There's always music in our house. There's always dance in our house. It's just fun. It keeps me young.
Okay, so you met that night, and so you've been together 7 years. So how did you become married? How did you move in together? I mean, what steps did you take?
Well, the first year after we met, I was still in a relationship, and actually, Chris became friends with my ex now and I. And when we broke up, I let Chris know about it, and we started hanging out. And about 9 months after we started dating, we'd purchased a house in Santa Rosa. So that's when we moved in together.
All the things in between that were, you know, the opportunity to get to know each other. So we would go on dates and, you know, go to other bars. We actually went on a cruise together. He took me on my first cruise.
Where'd
which
you
was
go?
Amazing. We were on the Carnival cruise line, and we went from Long Beach to Catalina Island to, I think it was Ensenada, Mexico.
Right.
And then back to Long Beach. So like the little quick cruise.
But, like, was it 3 days or 2 days or 1 day? Or
it was a 4 day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's nice for a first cruise, isn't it?
Yeah, just to, you know, check it all out and see what it is. And we actually love cruising. We've been on so many cruises together ever since then. So it's like our ideal vacation getaway time.
Wow. Well, where else have you gone?
That was one of my telltales when we got on the cruise ship, because they have a variety of really good foods and different foods that you don't typically have. So when dinner time would come around and look at the menu and talk about escargot and those types of things, he's like, yeah, I'll try that. He wanted to try new things, and I like the adventurous part of that, so definitely.
Yeah, there was a lot of food on that during that cruise because, you know, I think we drove down. Did we drive?
Yeah,
I thought so, yeah. So we drove down to Long Beach, and then during that whole time, you know, I got to meet his best friend, his sister, Sandy. Hi, Sandy. And, you know, we went to several restaurants out there, and there was a lot of things that I had never, you know, tried, you know, food-wise at these different restaurants. And then, so that was kind of like the perfect time to start exploring just in several different ways, like traveling, different types of food, which I'm a foodie, so I love food and we love to cook. Yeah, like the escargot was delicious. I didn't think I would like that because of its actual origin. And then, you know, just different types of fish. It was a really fun time.
So did TJ open you up to all of this? Or
absolutely, absolutely. Before, you know, I never really got a chance to travel that much. I had been to some of the typical places like Las Vegas and down to L.A., you know, many nights in San Francisco, San Jose, just around the Bay Area. But it wasn't until I met TJ is when we really started traveling. He showed me a lot of different areas. I don't even know how many cruises we've done.
We have done a total of about 11 cruises.
Where have you gone?
We've done a lot of the Mexican Riviera, the Caribbean, the east coast of Mexico, Panama Canal. We've not done Alaska yet. That's one of our desired cruises.
We went to Hawaii.
We did a cruise to Hawaii.
Ooh.
Yep.
So that was a fun, and we met some really awesome people that we're still friends with today. So good cruise all together.
So how is it to be interracial? I mean, to have... somebody laughing? Yeah, I'm just curious to how that...
Well, there's not only just the color gap, but there's also an age gap also. So there was some things for me personally that I had to overcome because I'm one of those people who cares what other people think about me. So there was a lot of just me not believing in what I wanted just because of what somebody else might say or view us. So there was some skepticism on my part about getting into this relationship or being with this awesome individual. Then ultimately I just say, this is who I fell in love with and why should I hide, how I feel about that and forget everybody else. So, yeah.
So remind us about the age difference, just in case somebody may have forgotten.
Let's see. Tease, you want to answer
27 years.
Yes.
27 years difference.
Yeah. So it's a gap. But people say age is nothing but a number. So, and you can't really, define somebody by how old they are, or how young they could be or whatever. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about what TJ said earlier about how you make him have energy and feel young. So sounds like that's a positive. I mean, does TJ make you? Is that right? Is there an opposite of that? Do you feel old or what? How do you see it? I mean,
You know what? He makes me feel grounded and mature. When I met him, I was, obviously younger than I am now. But and not to say that I, am not who I was, since I met TJ, but there was absolutely a period of, me growing and becoming that much more of an adult, someone who takes things a little bit more seriously and not try to be so childish. And actually, TJ brought that out in me, but not just the serious parts, but also the fun adventurous stuff as well, doing these cruises, traveling around the United States and the different parts of the Caribbean. And he just gave me an appreciation of what a loving couple could be. And that's awesome. I love that part.
Beautiful. And TJ, you want to add? Do you want to say something about more about you feeling younger? Or did I say that? I'm putting words in your mouth or what?
No, I definitely do. I feel just because of the energy and because of the things that we do, it definitely makes me feel younger. I don't really have anything else beyond that. I don't feel like I'm your typical 61-year-old, 62-year-old, and it's because of Chris.
And same for me, the reverse of that. I'm 34, I'll be 35 in March. And I not only feel, I'm still young, I'm not 21 or anything like that, but it's just a feeling of being happy, and just being in that space with somebody who you really care about.
So you said earlier, other people's ideas not getting in your way. How have you done that?
Pretty much just ignoring people. Ignoring what people were just trying to block that kind of negative energy. Because there was one couple who I knew. I spoke about my friend Dion earlier, and it was around the holidays where two of our mutual friends, they were dating, and they were significantly different from one another. He was a white man, smaller in frame, and the girl that he was with was this African-American woman with a bigger frame. And when you just look at them, it just looks like, that's not the typical kind of a couple, mm-hmm. Not like what we see on TV and everything like that. And that's what I didn't want people to do with me and TJ. It's like, look at us differently because we are, we're different, but we're still a couple. So,
So I just wanted to speak about that piece because that's really important to, the racial thing and now the age thing. It's really important to, and then how we perceive ourselves and how other people perceive us. And so how do you stay true to who you are in your relationship?
Just to be real, just to focus on us and not to let any outside influences affect what we believe in with ourselves and, you know, who we surround ourselves with. And
you clearly have a support system.
Yeah, our friends. Our friends, they make life so much easier. We love our friends. We hang out all the time, and they're definitely behind us in regards to our love and our relationship and loving who we are. And that's what, and that's why we love them.
And TJ, you anything you want to add to it?
Yeah, when Chris was telling you about the couple that he was observing, he was at his friend Dion's house and told me that, that he had reached out to Dion and said, "What do you see?" And Dion's response was, "If they're happy, what's it matter?" That was kind of the gist of it. And that was on Christmas Eve. And I got a text on Christmas morning, and it simply said, "Merry Christmas, my love." And I cried. I was like, "Oh my goodness." He figured it out, because we, at that point, we had been just back and forth about where we could be committed or not. Yeah, it was an epiphany for sure.
So I wanted to move forward and talk about how did it come about that you decided that you were going to marry? Who proposed? Did you both? Or how did that work? TJ, you want to start?
Sure. We had talked about marriage and quite honestly, the benefit of marriage as far as our assets and those types of things, and being able to stand and say we are going to celebrate the same rights that, that straight couples in America have. So for me, that was a discussion. And we were on our way back from Vallejo, heading over into Santa Rosa, and we're on Highway 37, and Chris proposed to me.
Yes.
And it was in the truck, which was perfect because we were always traveling somewhere anyway, so it was just part of our life. And he proposed on the way across Highway 37.
That is
wow.
True.
Wow, how sweet. You were just ready for it, huh, Chris?
Well, yeah, and when I decided I was ready was when I just didn't want this awesome individual leave my life. I wasn't ready at first, just to be honest. But, you know, just hanging out with him more and more, and it wasn't like I loved him less. It just, you know, marriage is like a huge commitment. And, you know, you had to, you know, just make sure everything was right. And then once I figured that everything was right, how I knew that we can live together peacefully and just be a couple, then I was like, you know what, let's do this. I want to be in a relationship. I've always been like a relationship kind of person anyways. At that moment when I knew, it was like, okay, let's do this.
Well, I think it's a good time to take a music break. Now, you brought a song, Chris and TJ. It's like your song, and it's by Beyoncé. Can you just tell us a little bit about why it's your song and what the name of the song is?
Called Love on Top. That title can kind of speak for itself, but the words and that song kind of represent who we were at the time, and it was just like there couldn't be anything else on top but love, that the love that we had. It's such a great song. I love that song so much, and it just really is our song.
Mm. Wonderful.
Beautiful.
Definitely.
Okay, here we go.
And welcome back. This is Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan. And we are in studio with Chris G.
So we're talking about you, the proposal and the marriage and the big wedding that happened. And yes. Okay, so that happened.
The wedding happened. We got married in San Francisco, right on the Marina Green, right by the Golden Gate Bridge.
Ooh.
It was beautiful to see, but it was cold as you know what. It was freezing right there on the bay. We got married in August.
In August it was cold.
Yeah,
wow.
Right? That's what we said.
So disappointing.
It was freezing. It was like really, really cold. Mm. But, you know, everybody was troopers and we got through it. Mm. It was fine.
Was it how big was it?
No, it wasn't that big.
Okay.
It was mostly like, it was very non-traditional.
Oh, okay.
You know, we wore white and blue. It was kind of like a Hawaiian type of a theme.
Ooh.
With like the floral kind of stuff that, you know, some people were wearing. And we're just on the beach, and we have one of our friends, Tony Boone, who just passed away last year, or 2 years ago almost. Yeah, he married us right on the beach, and it was great.
Wow, wonderful. I'm sorry about the cold, but
yeah.
Look at you now, right?
Right. You're
together and happy.
Yes.
And so family support, let's talk about that. We always like to cover that and when we talk to our couples, because it's hard sometimes to have family to be there to back us and support what we're doing,
yes.
Especially in the African-American community. Just curious, how was your experience to be marrying a white man and all of that?
Just being gay, I'll just talk about that for a second. I started bringing my, at the time, boyfriend around my family. And, you know, I kind of introduced him as my friend or, you know.
Yeah.
It was never like, this is my boyfriend or anything like that. And then I think people eventually put, you know, two and two together, and they were like, oh, okay, I don't think that's just your friend. He's always here. You know, I think my family knew that I was gay, but I never really had that big coming out or dramatic coming out experience. So it was kind of left in the dark a little bit. And, you know, I just kind of let them assume, and they believed in what they believed in until I met TJ. And when I met TJ, it was not the same. There was no hiding. It's because, you know, I was a little older. I grew a lot mentally, and I realized that, you know, again, like I said before, I just couldn't worry about other people, including family, how they viewed me or who they thought I should love.
So maturity played a part. Good to know. That's good advice later, too, around talking about maturity and how do you own your own truth.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, and just bringing TJ around my family, they got to love him. You know, they grew to love him. And then, you know, the whole marriage proposal happened. We got married. You know, I invited certain family members. Some family members showed up. Some didn't. And, you know, that's fine. You know, I know that it's not for everybody, you know, being a part of that type of lifestyle. And but yeah, like now if we both were to go to a family event, like Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, everybody loves CJ, so it's fine, and it's beautiful.
So you would say you didn't have any kind of coming out?
Not really.
Not with, you didn't talk to your mom, your dad, families, aunties, grandparents?
Well, I mean, individually at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was never like a sit down moment, or like I've seen videos of, you know, kids like, you know, on the internet, on YouTube, like how they came out, like either with a message or a song or something creative. For me, it wasn't like that. I know a lot of my aunts, I would talk to them about it, about being gay. And, you know, they were like, well, we knew. Mm-hmm. We already knew. And that was a relief. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, now I can kind of slowly talk to the rest of my family members and continue the, I guess what you're saying, the coming out process. But like, it wasn't official. Like it wasn't like one big, like everybody sit down, I just have something to say. I didn't do that.
That's good. That could be very stressful.
Yes.
Come on, everybody.
Yeah, like
Chris has something to say.
Yeah, like what does he have to say?
Oh my God.
And so were you different like in elementary school or high school? I mean, did you date girls? You've always known?
You know what? Okay, the first time that I knew that I was attracted to another boy, I was maybe in the fifth grade. And I was like, why am I thinking that? I specifically remember, like, why do I think he's cute? And that kind of replayed in my mind until later on. But I never really dated girls. There was this one girl I dated for a hot second, and then like it was a hot second, and I was like, no, this is not for me. Then I got more confident in who I am, and then yeah, that's how it led to, you know, me, you know, actually gaining the strength to talk to boys later on, mm-hmm. like, you know, after 18 and stuff. So
where did you grow up again? Vallejo?
Fairfield, oh. California.
Did you see anybody else like you and know anybody else like you? I mean, no, in like an elementary or high school, junior high.
Yes.
You had a group to hang out with.
I did have one specific friend, and if anybody is listening, they probably know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm not going to put their name out there. He was very influential to my lifestyle choices, I'll say that. It was good and it was bad. I learned a lot of, you know, of life lessons hanging out with this person back in the day. he's a crazy, crazy friend, you know, love him to pieces, but you know, people grow up and grow apart and, you know, focus on different things in life. And, you know, that path of being in a friendship with him didn't fit where I wanted to go. So, you know, you got to kind of, you know, make your separate paths in life. You can't just stay in one lane and hope that everything is okay. You got to switch it up sometimes. And I did that, and I don't regret that decision. Met some really good friends along the way.
So do you and TJ, do you both, you've been married for 4 years, so that's kind of a young relationship. And so as you look into the future or presently, I mean, do you have any goals or hopes to have other people in your family, like children or anything like that? Or,
well,
no?
We personally, I don't want any children. Just mm-hmm. I'm not a kid person. I love kids, but I don't want to have to be responsible for raising one, just to be honest. But we have adopted some of our own kids, if you will, quote unquote. We have Abby, who is like our son. We love him. And then we had Josh. Yeah, but that is probably as much kid time that I would like focusing on them, just seeing where their life will take them.
So adoption meaning not legal, but just bringing them into your family and,
yes,
and help care for them and stuff. Yeah.
Yes, our chosen family.
Chosen. That's a beautiful thing that you did.
So are they younger?
Yeah, they are younger. 24? Yeah, in their 20s. We all connected and, you know, they each had their own individual story. And TJ and I, specifically TJ, wanted to make sure that they had more of a welcome home environment, because some of them didn't have that with their traditional family. Mm-hmm. So we kind of offered our home to them just as a safe place, some place where they can be themselves and wouldn't have to worry about somebody looking at them differently or doing anything wrong to them. So that's our house.
This is
beautiful.
Huge.
Yeah.
This is huge. And
bless you.
I mean, are these gay kids?
Yes.
Okay.
LGBTQ?
LGBT, yeah. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And so at least one of them live with you guys.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that Diane and I are foster parents.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so we have something in common, wanting to help other people.
Yes, yeah. And everybody doesn't have the super supportive family. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, having that support group is important.
So I want to go back to your dancing, because I know that's really, really important to you. And when you talked about it earlier, I could just feel your enthusiasm around it. So tell us about your dance and what are you doing and what do you want to do? And
well, it's not anything super major, but I mean, I love to dance. I've always loved to dance. Dancing is just a part of me, just like music. I wanted to become a professional dancer at a young part of my life. That kind of got detoured, and it wasn't up until I started dancing at Santa Rosa Junior College, the SRJC, is when I met a really big community of dancers who I love and admire. They're so talented. You know, there's all the different choreographers. And that kind of presented me to become part of different showcases and theatrical performances presented by the JC. And then, like I said before, just dancing locally, smaller venues. Like, you know, places in Guerneville or, again, San Francisco, Vallejo. So, yeah, I just love to dance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what kind of dance would you describe that you do?
Mainly hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Hip-hop. I've taken ballet and jazz through the JC again. They've been hip-hop classes, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love dance.
And so at our rehearsal tonight, we found a part in my play where we're going to have Jeffrey, the character that you're playing, Chris, to do some kind of fancy. We're not going to tell them what. They want to see the play. They got to come out and check you out, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. So talk a little bit about your new role as Jeffrey.
Oh, I love Jeffrey. Jeffrey is so fun. The character in When the Bud Blooms. He is a firecracker, to say the least. Very funny, very outspoken, I believe.
You believe.
He is very outspoken. You know, I feel like Jeffrey is the person that makes everybody laugh. Jeffrey is the jokester. He is somebody, even if you're in a bind, I feel like he will still find some kind of way to make you laugh and just maybe enjoy whatever the situation is a little bit more.
So that's kind of who you really are. It kind of resonates, right?
Yeah, it does. It really does. I connected with him when we read the script at the coffee shop. I read that first line. I was like, oh, he's hilarious. Just one line. It's like, oh, okay, I can do this. Okay, first of all, Jeffrey is, in my mind, like a very, very proud, flamboyant homosexual male. So I think that just by saying that, his demeanor comes off like very strong and very, very proud, which is awesome. I love that fact. But he kind of gives you like a don't mess with me, you know, like a
with the head roll and everything,
the neck and the snapping of the fingers, and yeah, like he very much loves his friends. I feel, and he will do anything to like help his friends out, protect them. And I'm kind of like that, I think, in a certain kind of way. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I love your laugh.
Oh,
do that again.
No, I don't even know. Like.
Did you hear that, sir?
I don't. I hate being on the spot. Oh my gosh! But no, he's really fun. I think he's gonna come off as like a crowd favorite. I think just from the short amount of time I've taken to like understand him and read the actual lines and get through, I think he's gonna be really fun. So I'm excited to portray him in When the Bud Blooms.
There you go. Wonderful. So you've been talking a lot about advice. You have a lot to say. And I want to just check in. We're gonna talk about you giving some information about being in a relationship, interracial relationship maybe, or about being so far apart in age differences. I mean, there's lots of different things that you've been talking about being yourself and following your own path.
Yes, absolutely.
Your own love path, right?
Yes.
So there's a lot that you can talk about.
I mean, and ultimately, in regards to being in a relationship, communication, oh my gosh, how important that is. There have been several times, because, you know, we're not perfect. You know, there's no one perfect couple or person. So, you know, there are times when, you know, the communication might not be as strong as it should. And sometimes words get misconstrued. So, yeah, just being able to talk to him has been a world of change. Just from maybe not hearing him correctly. Like, what did you say? Like, that happens a lot in our household because, you know, we listen to music all the time, or there's somebody over here and we might be cooking or doing something like that, which we love to do. Yeah, just communication, and then just understanding each other, just trying to be there for one another, and, you know, just to check in once in a while. I'm like, hey, babe, are you good? I'm like, yeah, okay, cool.
Important to do that. That's really important. We find that too, right, Cher?
Yes.
And it's always a work in progress, I think. I mean, we've been together. Did I told you how long we've been together, Chris?
No.
Well, we just celebrated our 41st anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
In December. So, yes. Yeah, so that's a long time. And, you know, it's still challenging because, like you say, no one's perfect. And we each have our moments when we get irritated and we don't really communicate the best. And But it's always about being able to look back and apologize if it needs to be apologized and moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly with us too. It's, you know, I can be so petty sometimes and I know that. I can be very, very petty and I'll hold on to some things because my mom taught me, like, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say nothing at all. Mm. And so, you know, there has been heated conversations and it's like, you know what, I'm not going to say anything. And he'll be like, babe, what are you going to say? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to say anything because I didn't have the right words to say at that moment. It would have not like helped the situation. So it's like, yeah, we had to like take a break, walk away maybe, and think about what we're even like arguing about, which is probably something silly in the first place. And usually is, and then talk about that and move forward and don't look back. You know, that's what we try to do.
You try. Yeah. Emphasis on try to
do.
No, that sounds like really good words of wisdom there.
Oh, you know, you live and you learn, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. try not to make the same mistakes twice, all those other little sayings, mm-hmm. and just be a better person. Like you know, you have to be the bigger person. Sometimes if you know that you're wrong, you know, admit to that or whatever, and just be honest. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, that's what we had to tell ourselves. It's like, just be honest and everything will work out, and we're still together. So something is working.
Does TJ ever pull the age card on you? Like,
never.
Oh,
never. Yeah,
wow.
Never.
He doesn't use that one.
Mm-mm. He doesn't need to. He knows who he is and I know who he is. So it's like we're very solid in that regard.
That's
like,
wonderful.
Yeah. We love to cook and
together
in the kitchen. We will put together some really good dishes. Actually, my family has asked me to start making macaroni and cheese for like Thanksgiving. And one of my friends specifically, he loves my mac and cheese recipe. So like, you know, just time together and cooking and laughing and being merry with our friends. It's great. Mm. I love you.
And I'm sure if TJ were here, he'd say the same thing back. We lost TJ, and even though we can't hear you, TJ, we want to thank you for being on our show. And Chris, we want to thank you so much for coming
on
our
show.
Thank
you so much.
See, the hour's over. And
I know.
Oh, my God, the time flew by.
Mr. Courageous. Look at you. Stepping out on stage already. Look at that.
So we want everyone to remember that, like Christopher and TJ, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can support others in being free and living their lives authentically. It's another way to help the world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we will be back next month. Until then,
good night.